Focus on the Family on AM 1230 KPRL and 99.3 FM is brought to you by Sculptera Winery and Sculpture Garden. The Frankel family and staff invite you to visit their beautiful world and taste their award-winning estate wine. Open daily 10 to 5 on Lanay Road in Paso Robles.
And when you change what you think about, you're changing what your brain is structurally for the purpose of helping you. And that's exactly the same kind of thing as I do with surgery.
This is Focus on the Family Minute with Dr. Lee Warren.
So this idea of self-brain surgery is you can change what your life looks like by changing how you think about things. And I realized in that moment, I can't change having lost my son. So if I want to feel better, I've got to change how I think about losing my son. So can I make it legacy? Can I think of some way to make his loss a gain for us, for not for us personally, but to help other people through it? Can I turn it into some purpose? And so then my life became about, like, how do I use this to help somebody find the footing that I was trying so desperately to find? How can I find scripture that reinforces this idea that my brain can change if I change my thinking? And that's really when it began to heal for me, Jim.
More from Dr. Lee Warren at FamilyMinute.org.
Focus on the Family on AM 1230 KPRL and 99.3 FM is brought to you by Sculptera Winery and Sculpture Garden. The Frankel family and staff invite you to visit their beautiful world and taste their award-winning estate wine. Open daily 10 to 5 on Lanay Road in Paso Robles.
Paul Harvey's The Rest of the Story, brought to you by Frontier Floors and Window Coverings at 830 21st Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-7878 or online at frontierfloors.net.
Now, the rest of the story. Ted was a frail, asthmatic young man. He was considered odd by his college classmates, but he had the soul of a romantic poet. Alice Lee was the daughter of a wealthy Boston banker, and when Ted met Alice, the very moment he met her, he fell in love with her, and he never fell out. Now, we'd not know terribly much about their relationship except for the love letters which survived them, and that brings us to the rest of the story. Ted was a real marshmallow. Particularly when it came to Alice, he called her his pretty pink baby. From the first, he was obsessed. When no other transportation was available, he would walk to visit her home 6 miles away. Quite often, he could not sleep for thinking about her, so he would roam the nearby forest, sometimes all night. Alice was unimpressed in the beginning. Her earliest notes to Ted were accordingly cool. Such correspondence sent the young man tumbling into depression until at last Alice returned his love. And then after a joyous 15-month courtship, the two became one. 39 love letters remain as an eloquent testimony to their mutual devotion. 23 written by Ted and 16 by Alice. Here is one, for instance. One time when they were apart, sentimental Ted wrote, and I quote, "Sweetest little wife, I think all the time of my little laughing, teasing beauty and how pretty she is and how she goes to sleep in my arms, and I could almost cry. I love you so." On another occasion, quote, "My little sweet pure queen, I have had no one to jog my arm and make me blot the paper while I was writing. It always made me rather bad-tempered, but I loved it all the same," end quote. Once in a while, romantic Ted would get discouraged and in writing Alice would counter, quote, "You must never think it would have been better for me if we had not met. I should die without you. And there is not another man I could ever have loved in this world." Ted was away on business when Alice wrote, quote, "I'm feeling well tonight, but I'm very much worried about your little mother. Her fever is still very high, and the doctor is rather afraid of typhoid." And the following day, Ted received a happy telegram relating the birth of his daughter. And shortly thereafter, another telegram, one saying that his mother had passed away. And so, of kidney failure following childbirth, had Alice passed away. That's right. His wife and his mother had died within hours of each other. And on St. Valentine's Day. 4 years to the day from his formal engagement to Alice, Ted's sweetheart, who by her own admission would die without him, did. From that cold winter and forever after, Ted would not even bear to hear Alice's name. In fact, it was thought that he, grief-stricken, had destroyed their love letters. until the recent discovery, which has reacquainted the world with their love. And newly introduced to you, a man you never knew. You see, history most often views Ted figuratively as carrying a big stick. But you've just now, for the first time, heard him speak softly. You knew him as a big game hunter and a fighter. Now you know him as a lover, not the rough rider. Now you've met the romantic Teddy Roosevelt. For now you know the rest of the story.
This hour of Sound Off on KPRL brought to you by Slow Heating and Air, your local reliable heating and air expert. Call 805-423-5119.
238-5775. 238-KPRL. Sound Off continues on KPRL, the North County's number one choice for news, talk, and sports. This is Sound Off on the right choice, KPRL.
Welcome back to Sound Off. My name is Karen Veely, your host on Wednesday and Thursday afternoons. And today I have Tobin James in the studio. And for those that, and we're talking about a man named Gabriel Kennedy, who has been, since 2010, has been charged with, 58 times charged with crimes. He's had dozens and, you know, dozens of arrests. More than, I mean, not just one dozen, dozens and dozens of arrests. And he goes through periods of time where he fixates on people and believes that they've done wrongdoing. And he's been caught with guns. He's been caught with ammunition. He has had many, many charges and a lot of burglaries and a lot of threats. This is a big deal to a lot of people in the community because he goes through these patterns of criminal activity. There was a point where he lived across from Tobin James Winery. And for those that don't know a lot about Tobin James Winery, Tobin started it in 1985. He invented the wine club. And people say, and I asked him this, he said, I don't know. But people say he has the most members of any wine club and he's the most popular wine club in the world. But he invented the wine club. And they have a winery property. Where is your winery located?
We're on Highway 46 East, about 7 miles out of town.
And you do a lot of focus on locals, correct?
Yeah, we like to think we're a winery that the local population of Paso Robles would enjoy. My taste room is like a saloon, a Western saloon, and I got that from living here in Paso for going on almost 50 years, and it's where I felt comfortable, and I thought other people would, and it's worked.
I like the Western thing. I remember when they used to have it at the Paso Robles, and they went back to it. They took it to for a short time, they changed it to take the Western out, and then they put the Western back.
Yeah.
It fits in this community.
People always feel more comfortable with the past.
So you have this going on, and let me explain why I have Tobin James here because I want him to explain to the public what happened. I want the public, I don't want my words to explain what happened here. There were allegations, these people had a feud. They didn't have a feud. There was no feud. He lived across the street. Kennedy has said that he could hear his wife and children screaming. And there were times he had guns on him. There were times ammunition. He became very fixated on the winery property. Now, can you explain how this whole thing started?
Yeah, sure. Like you say, Karen, I'm here so people understand what really happened. We weren't fighting over a fence line or anything. I never met the guy, never met anybody in his family. We started noticing on our security cameras Gabe walking around our winery property. And we have people that walk around, like the cork salesman might go find the winemaker in the back part of the winery, or you know, the glass salesman, or you know, people working on equipment. But then we kept noticing him. Then we saw him following one of our winemakers around, and we thought he had a knife or something in his hand. And then we're going, huh, this guy what is this all about? And then one day he walks into the tasting room with probably 50 customers in it and screams, "Where's my effing wife?" And the whole place goes quiet. And, you know, like I say, I probably got, you know, 8, 10 employees in there. And that's when the ball started rolling. And then you know, he's on our property at night. We're on all our security. You know, he's trying to open doors, and alarms are going off, and he's starting to get arrested. And you know, I can't, all the things that happened to us, it would take me hours and hours to explain all this to you. And we're trying to get him, you know, this guy's a threat. There's a clear and present danger. And they just let him out of jail 19 times in the 6 months that he harassed us. And his wife called up and said he makes his own guns. He made ghost guns. I told the DAs about that, and they went and arrested him again for that. And he people would call the winery and go, "Yeah, he tried to sell me a gun. You guys should know this." You know, so we knew all about the guns. He would fire a gun in the backyard. His wife would tell us. This is after he had been arrested. And
you called 40 to 50 times.
We had 45
to 50.
45 times the sheriffs came out there. 45 calls of service, they call it. We've called many more times, but, you know, they came out 45 times. The last time I saw him, he's coming down Union Road. We're on Union Road, and there's two squad cars and a helicopter following him. He drives onto his property. He gets out of his car, starts running for his. We're all watching this. The cops get out of their car and they're fighting, and the helicopter pilot had to land the helicopter and join in the fight. And that went on for 6 months.
He's physically punching officers?
Oh, yeah. He was punching them out, and the helicopter pilot landed. It's all on tape. It's all documented on tape. I'm not making this up. It's hard to believe. But I wasn't supposed to be afraid of him for 6 months as he's on our property every day and night, texting crazy stuff. He texts me saying things. The screaming's getting louder. Things aren't going to turn out well tonight. Things like that. He would text and go, "Hey, you know, do any of your female employees want to meet me? Do you have any daughters or granddaughters or, you know, stuff like that, personal stuff that you know, all this was communicated to the DA's office, and much more happened, and you know, him sitting on his water tower staring at us, and just tons of stuff. And it was frustrating, but I came on your show because I wanted people to know we're good taxpaying Americans that want to just be left alone, you know, make people happy, and that we've done that with great wines and showing people a good time. And, you know, we thought we should be protected. Something should have been done. You know, when your life's upset like that, that's your civil liberties that are being denied, because you're constantly watching the guy. He would corner my girls when they were leaving and drive up on his truck, and they were all scared to death of him.
And this is a business you've had for decades, and this man is literally he's got employees quitting. He has people afraid. And this was years ago. There's no problems out there anymore at all. This is years ago. And I don't think he would go near you at this point. Do you have a restraining order still?
We do. I'm not sure. Don't they run out? I think they run out. I mean, we're not worried anymore. I mean, we are worried, but we're kind of used to it now. But I think he gets fixated on the airplane thing, and TSA's looking for him. And, you know, he doesn't live across from us anymore, you know. So
he's not going after you. Tell us what happened on the day that you were that you had the final day where he was on the property.
Well, he kept driving. He had a big truck and he kept driving fast. He's on meth. I assume for the way he acted, and he's driving through our we don't have a, you know, we're not Walmart with a big parking lot, and he's He's got a big truck and he's flying through there. And, you know, this happened all the time. And here's the kicker is he was smart enough to know that if I do something, I've got about 15 minutes to leave, because then the sheriff gets out there and go, well, you know, we have to see it. They have to see it happen or they can't do anything. So he knew to leave, but, and the one would call me and say, hey, he's out here on the property. He's driving through the park at a high rate of speed. And I thought he was good. That was what I was most afraid of, was the guns, but also, you know, somebody getting run over by his truck. And so he came out one day, and he's in a golf cart this time, and he's driving erratically around in our parking lot. And he came at me, and I shot out his back tire.
And
hit nothing but tire, by the way.
And we've got a caller. Let me bring a caller in. Welcome to Sound Off. What would you like to ask Tobin today?
Can't you go after his assets in civil court? Just sue the crap out of him.
You know what happened was that time when he the helicopter thing and all that, he went into jail for about 6 months. His wife came out and had a garage sale and sold all his tractors and sold the house and sold everything.
Well, he probably still has some income. In California, even basic Social Security disability, which all the homeless people get, is $1,234 a month.
Yeah,
you can find out wherever he's getting money from and go after it.
Yeah, you know, we kind of thought about that, but it was just like maybe he would start in on us again. I'm telling you, it's when something like that happens, people don't know. You know, you get a little PTSD kind of thing going where, you know what, that was so scary. I don't want to put my family, my employees, my customers through that again. So I just, you know, is lock them up. That'd be payment for me.
Understood. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you for calling in. So you shoot out the tires. This man's on your property. You shoot out his tires to protect the people there. What happens next?
So he drove his golf cart, you know, with three tires back to his house, and you know, I just said whatever happens. At least I know he's not going to hurt and hit any of my people, and he didn't call the police or anything, and so they came out and the police came out and saw, you know, they on some other reasons for some other reason they saw the golf cart and they go, what happened to your golf cart? He said, well, Tobin James shot the tire out. So you know, then they're like, then that perked their ears up. I mean, he didn't even call them. He didn't care. He didn't have a problem with me. It was you know, I wasn't a bad guy. There was agents. He told me there's people up in these rooms. There's these agents, some kind of government agents or something. He would call and say, hey, what are all the cars over there? Why all the lights on? And there's no cars and there's no lights.
So he had a paranoia that there were government agents.
Yeah.
When you were up in your building, and he was upset with them.
Well, and there's this guy named Johnny Walker. I guess he's a local realtor here, but he kept. I don't know, was a tennis coach to his wife, or I don't know exactly, but I can't remember. But he was fixated on him, and he'd say, I see him up there, you know. And I go, we don't know who you're talking. We showed him all over. Well, I said, there's no dungeons, there's nothing here. But, you know, that's.
I had heard he thought you had a dungeon where you kept his wife.
No, that's what he thought. And so we showed him around, go, no, there's no dungeon, see. You know, but that's about what we thought maybe he was would be reasonable, but he just turned out to be more and more psycho. And we did our best. We did our best to minimize. We're nice people, and we're harmless. And that's the feeling that I hate the worst, is that we were subject to that, and we, you know, that it's just an ugly thing. And why we don't deserve that? We did not deserve it. I pay a lot of taxes, as you know. I've paid a lot of taxes, and you know, you think you'd get a return phone call from the DA, which I never got. Dan Dow said he never got the message. And I'm like, so this guy named Tobin James with 50 employees is making wine here for almost 50 years, and he calls, and you don't get that message? When I told the people you know, answering the phone. It's an emergency, you know. I want you to record what I'm saying, and then he doesn't get the message. Well, that's a pretty lax office, or, you know, I don't get it.
And so you shoot out the tires, and then they... Who arrested you, and what happened then?
The sheriffs came like 2-3 days later, you know, and I said, yeah. I said, the guy's self-defense. The guy was coming at me, you know, and that was that, you know. They threw me in, you know, took me to jail, and $250,000 bond where people...
Seriously?
Yeah. I mean, people have bonds for $50,000 that'd kill people.
He's on bond right now for two burglaries and all the 10 crimes, and his bail, it was first, I think, around $55,000, and right now they've lowered it to $40,000. But he's still... Last time I looked, he was still in.
I guess, you know, I don't know if they're trying to make an exam. I don't know what the DA's office was thinking.
Judges set the bail. The DA does not. The DA doesn't set the bail. The judicial sets the bail.
Well, I know. I understand that. But, you know, I think they wanted to make some kind of case out of it. They weren't listening to us when we told them all these things that he had done. And so they must not have known. They weren't aware of the severity of the whole thing. And look at us now. We're 6 years later. We're in your studio talking about this guy again. You know, and finally, I guess maybe they've kind of gotten a message, but it didn't help us. They should have listened to us 6 months. You know, what if there was a what if we were? Think about this. What if instead of a winery was across the street for him, it was a grade school or kindergarten? Do you think that would have gone on for 6 months? Of course not.
No.
But with us, me, a taxpaying American, it went on for 6 months. But if it was a kindergarten, well, then, you know, we have to put a stop to that immediately.
We're going to take a break, a word from our sponsors, and we'll be back with more with Tobin James.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL is brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
I'm Liz Klayman, and this is the Fox Business Report.
Stocks ending at session lows as bond yields spiked and oil gushed to a four-week high, driving inflation concerns. Bond yields climbed, erasing some of the relief created yesterday after the U.S. Treasury Department moved to ease pressure from the bond market and stepped in to increase buybacks of long-term treasuries. In the meantime, oil prices rose with West Texas Intermediate crude trading over $86 a barrel. Shares of Dow member Walmart tumbled 9%, the country's biggest retailer, delivering an earnings and revenue beat for its recent quarter. However, Walmart reported its smallest sales gain in more than 6 years. The Dow winners, Travelers, McDonald's, and Salesforce. The Dow decliners, Goldman Sachs, Caterpillar, and Walmart. The Dow down 704 points. The Nasdaq lower by 264. S&P 500 down 67. That's your Fox Business Report. I'm Hillary Barsky, invested in you.
My name is Whitney Allen, and I'm a widow. My husband, Ryan, died. We never thought we'd ever have to use life insurance, but the unexpected happened. With Ethos, signing up was fast and 100% online. You can get a quote in seconds, apply in minutes, and get same-day coverage. No medical exams, and you can get up to $3 million worth of coverage. I'm grateful we were prepared.
Get your free quote at ethos.com/term. That's ethos.com/term. Paid spokesperson. Time spent on application may vary. Online health questions required.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stiefel, 238-3080.
Listen to this real Paso Robles Glass customer where they installed 23 replacement Milgard Tuscany windows and two sliding doors.
Steve Eklund, Craig Smith as an architect and a proud and honored client of Paso Robles Glass. Hey, the boys are doing a great job. They just left. Everything is just fine. Extremely good crew. You got that crew is exceptional. They're all hardworking guys, very careful, very cautious. All is good. I think they have one more day tomorrow, wrap it up, the finished work. I'd like to set up a time to come up and see you next week. I've got a big, big project I'd like you to look at for me. Whatever works on your end, just wanted to let you know, Steve. Take care. Bye.
Get rid of your old broken windows and get new Milgard energy-efficient windows and doors with Milgard's ironclad lifetime warranty.
The Sound Off lines are open at 238-5775, 238-KPRL. The North County's listening to you on Sound Off.
Welcome back to Sound Off. My name is Karen Vealey, your host on Wednesday and Thursday afternoons. We do have a couple. I'm gonna look at a couple comments that have been sent in. One person says pepper ball pistols may be made by Ma are available at Big Five.
Wish I had one.
And another person says, don't be discouraged. It is common practice for the legal system to let things get out of control until they are forced to fix it. Paso PD is good at getting their bad guy, and sometimes they will make the victim, sometimes a bad guy, to get them. Unbelievable story. You know, and we have a caller. Welcome to Sound Off. What would you like to ask Tobin James today?
Hey, Toby. I know you and Gary go way back, and as you know, Gary Everly started the Winemakers Cook-Off, which gave $100,000 in scholarships this last June, and we appreciate you participating in that every year.
Yeah.
Thanks a lot, Toby.
Yeah, you bet. That was Gary and mine both idea, actually. We were barbecuing. We said we should do this, and that's what it turned out. Great. Thank you very much. That was fantastic.
Thank you for calling in.
Keep up the good work.
Thank you.
And Tobin James, that we now have a ton of wineries in North County, but you started working in Buncombe at the Estrella.
Estrella. They called it. It looks like Estrella, but it is Estrella, 1979. And Paso, I think, had maybe two stoplights at the time, my family is four generations now with my grandkids. And so we love Paso Robles. We consider, we're not from out of town. We're local. And we love the people that live here, and we try to make wine for them. We'll sell wine to anybody. If we had our way, we'd sell it to Paso people first,
So you are Paso Robles Winery.
That's what I like to think.
And so you get arrested. What were all the charges they threw at you at first?
I can't even remember them.
They were felonies and misdemeanors.
Yeah, shooting into a occupied
vehicle
and leaving the scene or something like that, and I don't even remember. Then some misdemeanors, I don't remember, vandalism or something. They piled it on. There's a few things I like to tell people that are listening, that plan ahead. Maybe run this scenario through your head. We're good citizens. We didn't know what to do. I didn't even know what bail was. I didn't know how it worked. I didn't know anything about it, because that's not my world. We're good folks, I wish I would have known a lot more about the process and plan ahead, and if something happens to yourself, maybe it's the way you call, the DA's office or the sheriff, or, you get a lawyer right away, or, you got to act quick, it can snowball on you. You got to nip it in the bud if somebody is harassing you.
You know, though, it is very hard to fight back. And a lot of people, a lot of, you do have to fight back. Yeah, I agree with you. I've had people, again, as a reporter, I've had people go after me. And I've learned you've got to fight back. You've got to put your stuff together. You've got to, if they're committing crimes against you, you've got to point it out to law enforcement. And you've got to take action.
That's what I mean by having a plan, you know, because you could start off and do it the wrong way, and then all of a sudden you're in trouble. And so it's good to have a way to, you know, a game plan.
And you can call in today. We can call or text at 238-5775. So you get arrested, you get a ton of charges. You were trying to protect your family, you were trying to protect your employees, and you were trying to protect your business. So it took you a year, and after a year, they lowered it to basically a slap on the wrist, a misdemeanor vandalism, and it was over.
Right.
But it took a year.
It took, yeah, probably longer than that. And they knew they knew they would get destroyed. If I got a jury of, what is it, 12 here?
Yeah, it's 12.
It was just, I
mean, one person, well, it doesn't
evidence,
work.
Oh my God. It was, I don't even, you know, they wouldn't have stood a chance with all the stuff we had on this guy.
And I have noticed, you also put ads in the back of the New Times talking about what had happened to you. And in the end, I think, I do believe what you did resulted. Law enforcement is now taking Canada very serious right now. I mean, literally, you saw it when I read the arrest. He was arrested in jail. But in California, they can only keep you a very short amount of time on misdemeanors, the things that they're supposed to let you out after 4 hours. So very often, the way our system is, they're trying to protect the criminals. Someone like this that is mentally ill, or supposedly mentally ill, I shouldn't say mentally ill, but there are allegations he's delusional.
You know what, that's the thing about this Canada guy is he was a smart guy, he knew the system, and you know, he could behave when he had to, when he knew he was being, you know, analyzed, and they go, oh, maybe there's nothing wrong with it, because he got I forget what they call it when they put you in jail and then they analyze you, but
a competency check. He's in one right now. He's under a competency check right now.
Yeah, and they let him out, and look what's happening.
He beats every one of them.
Yeah, so, I mean, I don't know, you know, who these people are that are analyzing, but, you know, they don't, I don't know if these government agents talk to each other and say, well, here's all the information you should have on a certain person, and then you can make a better decision. I'm sure, you know, I'm not sure what the judges see. They certainly don't. They don't see the fear in people's eyes when this guy shows up, you know. And people that can't fight, maybe can't fight back. They're scared, you know. And that's the whole thing that came out of this. That to this day, you know, everybody that worked for me and my family are stigmatized by it. You know, it's not something that happens in everybody's lives every day. Something life-threatening. We didn't know. I wasn't going to find out. I wasn't letting them through our front door, and that just wasn't going to be. I don't want to be the guy that didn't do something when it came to family and employees.
We have another caller. Welcome to Sound Off. What would you like to ask Tobin today?
Yeah, Toby. Hey, Tom Erskine. How you doing?
Hey, Tom.
Good. Yeah, I just wanted to tell you, you know, Toby's just a great human being. I've known him 50 years. He was a cellar rat with Niels Utzon of Castora. And if you remember, Toby, Sarah Gravel.
Yeah.
And you guys started the wine festival also, besides the chili cook-off, if I remember right.
Yeah.
Well, that was about 50 years ago. You had me being the security guard, which was kind of a joke. I got to tell you, Aaron, Randy Kennedy's a heck of a nice guy. I feel sorry for him, his son Gabe. He's had problems pretty much last 40 years. He was a pretty successful grading engineer, building roads and whatnot. But doggone, he could never get anything done. And I always thought he's off. There's something off with him because he had all the opportunity in the world to be successful. But
Tom, I read this stuff about. I was going to mention that you know, since all this happened, people told me about instances, you know, 10, 15 years ago that, you know, something was wrong. And so, yeah, it didn't just happen with our, you know, our instance. So.
No, there's something, and I think that's what the courts have got to look at, because I can tell you 30 years ago, he was probably doing a $2 million job, had all the new equipment, getting it done, and then two-thirds of the way through, it doesn't get done. I drop out of a transaction because of it, and he just kind of disappeared. So I'm not going to accuse him of what's pretty obvious, but something's off. That's all I can say. But you're a great human being, Toby. I love you, man.
Thanks, Tom. Thanks.
All right. Have a good day. All right. Bye-bye.
Thank you for calling in. And you do have a very good reputation in the community. And one of the problems, and I'm not going to get into the rumors, but one of the problems that we have in society right now, and I personally blame social media and other things, that there are people that wonder if somebody else did something wrong and they get accused when they're the victims. Welcome to Sound Off. What would you like to ask Toby today?
I want to thank Toby for something else. I may be late to the party, but I know Toby and Gary Everly started the Winemakers Cook-Off as on a bet.
Yeah.
And as of this date, our fund is now over $2 million.
Excellent.
That we're giving scholarships with. So a good seed was planted.
And if people haven't been to it, it's a great event. It's fun and exciting and lots of food and good food and wine.
Yeah, Toby, you did good.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you very much for calling in. So what is the Winemakers Cook-Off? And you did this on a bet?
Well, I mean, we thought about it. We you know, Gary and I liked to bar. Back then, that's why we didn't have even Wi-Fi or anything, cell phones or anything. So you barbecue with your friends, you know. And Gary, I worked with Gary, so we said, hey, we ought to do a winemaker, you know, fundraiser where, you know, we see who gets voted best barbecue, and now it's kind of famous.
Sounds wonderful. I think we have another caller. Welcome to Sandoff. Is this Nandow, the district attorney?
Yes, it is. Good afternoon, Karen. Good afternoon, Mr. Shumrick. And I just want to call and say, first off, to Mr. Shumrick, you know, I appreciate the fact that you and I had a chance to talk a couple years ago and really kind of get through some of your concerns. And I was able to share with you my thoughts on the system. And bottom line is I'm very sad that we have a system that is not better equipped to be able to deal with things like what you and your staff went through when you did. You know, there were restraining orders and various things, and unfortunately the judicial and the criminal and victim justice system just is not equipped well to hold and detain people and to prevent them from continuing the cycles like this. So, you know, and what's going on right now is just an illustration. While I can't talk about the open case, I can just say that generally, when mental illness is a factor, it presents a lot of additional challenges. But in addition to that, the courts now are not even able to hold people in custody because of Supreme Court decisions from our California Supreme Court that say if someone can afford lower bail, judges are required to reduce the bail to let them out. And so we're seeing a lot more of this, not just like the case with Mr. Candidate, but a lot of other folks in our community are in a revolving door situation, in custody, out of custody, new arrest, new case, out of custody, new case, back in custody, out of custody again. And something has to change, and my office is working hard to try to work with the very imperfect system that we have. But again, Mr. Shumrick, I just want to say to you that as someone that I would consider you a friend because we met and we talked, and I appreciate the significant effect that those cases were on you and on your staff. And ultimately, I'm glad that they were both able to be resolved. And I'm sorry that we're back kind of at square one again right now with a different fact pattern.
I appreciate, Dan, you know, there's a lot of going on with, you know, different branches of you know, the legal system. All I know is what happened to us, you know, and thought for 100% we didn't deserve it, and somebody we pay taxes for, you know, something to be done about it, and that didn't happen, and I hope you guys are working on some solutions for it.
We are. We work hard every day with the limitations that are on us, and sadly, it oftentimes will take someone with many cases before the court before we can get a adequate sentence. God bless you, sir. Thank you, Karen.
Thank you very much for calling in. We're going to take a break, a word from our sponsors, and we have a couple callers calling in. We'll be talking to them after the last break.
Plan to attend the 30th ever Creston Classic Rodeo, September 10th, 11th, and 12th. All of your rodeo favorites like barrel racing, roping, penning will be at the Creston Classic Rodeo, and don't miss the famous mutton busting. Watching the little cowboys and cowgirls trying to stay on those sheep is always exciting. For more information, check out the Creston Classic Rodeo on Facebook, Instagram, and at CrestonClassicRodeo.org.
Summertime is savings time at the Mattress Specialist in Paso Robles. Here's Rich London.
I got things on sale because I'm constantly getting things in. I'm getting the deals for everybody. So I've got high-end beds with Chatham & Wells. I've got medium-high with Eastman House. I've got other lines that are lesser expensive, but all are good quality beds. Top quality to good quality.
The Mattress Specialist is at 13th and Riverside in Paso Robles.
Welcome back to Sound Off. My name is Karen Vealy, your host on Wednesday and Thursdays. I have Tobin James in the studio, and we have another caller. Welcome to Sound Off. What would you like to ask Tobin today? Welcome to Sound Off. What would you like to ask Tobin today? Welcome to Sound Off. What would you like to ask Tobin today?
Hi, how are you folks?
Good.
You know, the real problem here is, as Dan was saying earlier, our policies here in California are simply not protecting the victims. They're protecting the criminals across the map. And we need a complete change with this. We have a very broken system, not to mention so many judges that are not elected, that are appointed, that are following that agenda of making this sanctuary state and protecting the criminal and not the victim. We need a definite change in policies.
I agree with you 100%. 100.
And also, look, people need to look at the legislators. When you elect a state congress, when you elect the state legislators here, look at how they're voting. Look at how they vote when these things come across about, you know, and they're promoting bills to really support the criminals and have, instead of the public. You have to know who you're voting for.
There's another problem here we're looking at, and there's no doubt that this type of behavior that the man in question is done, very much a drug-type behavior. That's a methamphetamine-type behavior, and it's a revolving door. And somebody who is hooked up on drugs, I have seen, you see the people walking through the streets. I have actually videotaped and interviewed people. One day they're perfectly normal when they're sober, and then when they're on a drug binge, they're flopping their arms around, screaming at things that simply are not there. They're having hallucinations, command-type hallucinations. they believe are real. And where is the mental health services? 3/4 of the budget goes through the Department of Social Services, and there's a good portion of that money that is going into mental health. They knew nothing whatsoever to rehabilitate, force rehabilitation. These people are not going to do it on their own. And there comes a point in time where they are a threat to themselves and or others. That is 5150. They're breaking this law, and no one is holding the people accountable that are responsible for seeing to it our public is safe. They're dropping the ball right there, and they're getting paid an awful lot of money to do this.
And Tobin, how do you respond to that?
Yeah, it seems like, you know, we all talk about the government and kind of how inefficient it is, and that's where it all comes down to, is they're just not efficient in what they do. Nobody's on the same page. I think it's easy for them to just let the person out because it hasn't happened to them. They haven't gone through it. And I think it just comes down to inefficiency, like Dan Dow said.
And thank you for calling in. We have another caller. Welcome to Sound Off. What would you like to ask Tobin James today?
I would like to ask Mr. Toby how the project on, I think it's 17th or 18th in Spring Street, his boutique hotel and winery, how is that project coming along?
It's coming along great. We have the footings poured, and we will pour slabs, I think, next week, and we look forward to a great little boutique hotel. We get a lot of folks from all over the world, and a lot from out of the area that come to visit us, and we wanted to have somewhere where they could stay while they're here, and go to other wineries and go to restaurants and enjoy the beautiful town of Paso Robles, and we'll make Paso proud. I promise you that.
Well, and it's the only project you actually have of that type here in Paso. You know, you've got the winery, of course, but that's the only project like that, isn't it?
Yes, that's yeah. All. It's just a family, you know, it's a family thing, just, you know, my family, and so.
Well, yeah. I'm looking forward to it. I'm sure it'll be beautiful. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
For calling in. And I do remember when this was passed by the city council a while back.
Yeah, it's a... It's been in the it was an old it was a lot that had been empty for as long as I've been here, I think, and I guess it was a gas station, and they had some remediation that had to be done, and I said, well, I'll buy it from the guy that had it, and I'll take a chance, and I called Chevron up and said, hey, you guys got to clean this up. They said, okay, we'll do it, and they cleaned it up, and so that's our Spring Street's our main street, and it's an empty lot with weeds growing out of it. Didn't look too good, I don't think, and so now we're going to put a beautiful little boutique hotel, little restaurant, and hire people, and so.
What's going to be where is this located? What cross street is it closest?
It's 18th and Spring. It's right next to the Market Walk.
I think that's a fabulous place to put this.
Yeah, I think so.
It brings something new into that area and elegant.
Yeah, I think we're going to spruce up town coming north a little bit.
Are you going to stay with the Western theme?
Probably, a little bit. I mean, I don't want to go too hardcore into it, but, I'm going to go Paso. I can't get it out of my DNA, and a little bit maybe, I think.
And I've watched how the Paso Robles in, which I like... I love their prime rib. I love the Paso Robles Inn.
But I do, too.
I like the way it looked years ago when it was all cowboy. Then they made it very, very modern. And then they went back to more cowboy.
Yeah, I know. that's why, I don't know what they were thinking. But we should be proud of our heritage here in Paso. And I don't see anybody ever have a problem with it. My tasting room, we've had millions and millions of people through there. And they've all enjoyed it.
When will this, when do you expect the tasting room to open?
Well, the tasting room's already open.
No, I mean the one next to the hotel. Are you going to have a tasting room near the hotel?
No, there'll be a lounge, and then there'll be a restaurant on the bottom floors because it has to be mixed use. And then above it will be some suites.
And when will the restaurant open?
Well, it's a year and a half away. It'll probably take a year and a half to finish a building it. And it'll be small, you know, it's not going to be huge, so it's something we can take care of and comfortably take care of and put some Tobin James fairy dust on it and make it special.
Have you decided what type of cuisine yet?
Well, I mean, I don't, you know, we have a young entrepreneur restaurateur that is going to go in there. I don't know if I should say, but one of the more famous restaurants in Paso, so he's gonna open up another store and.
I think you should say it.
The Alchemist, Tony at the Alchemist.
Very nice.
Yeah, and this guy is, he was made to be a restaurateur. He's just bright and he makes exciting food and he knows how to run a restaurant so it's successful.
I think the town is looking forward to you. This is, you went to an area, you went to an overgrown lot, and you're making it now into a nice restaurant and hotel. I think that's an improvement for the area.
Yeah, we had Chevron remediate the ground, and so it's a win-win for everybody, the city and, you know, the people that'll stay there and my family, and we're looking forward to opening.
How many hotel rooms are you going to have?
There'll be 16 suites, and then there'll be eight like one bedroom apartments.
So this is also bringing more housing to the area, which is one
right.
of the main goals.
Right.
That sounds very nice. Back to what we were talking about before, I don't think I know what the answer is, other than changing legislation, because if you have legislation that makes you let these people out of jail. When they're arrested for these types of crimes and right out of jail, even if they've been arrested six times in 3 weeks.
Yeah.
What is the answer?
Well, now that you mentioned, I would think the evaluation of the person, you know, and the history and the track record, you know, I think that's the where you got to start and what their real problem is. With Canada Day, I think it was a mixture of meth and, you know, I think there's mental illness, and you combine those two, and you got a problem. You know, if you and like I say, I don't know the you know psychopath. They just don't care about their victim. They don't see them as a victim. You know, he didn't know that my employees were crying, coming up to me crying, Toby, you have to do something. You know, he don't care about that. He never saw it, and he certainly, you know. He couldn't care less about the people that are affected by their actions.
No, and I think that was, it's completely, again, when he broke into the man's house on Mill Street, he claimed he had owned it. It was supposed to be his.
Yeah, he didn't know. He scared the hell out of him and the older gal, Davis, or the guy's mom.
The Drakes.
It never entered his mind to feel bad for her. I promise you that.
Can you imagine an 88-year-old woman and you've got a naked man wanting pants?
Yeah. She's not the same, you know, that stuff can affect you.
And when someone has threatened you and or you've had an incident like this, it can take a long time to get over it and feel safe again.
I'm at my house when all this, he was still out and it had all gone down where I shot his wheel out. But, you know, I didn't know if he was going to, he's looking in my window at my house. You know, your mind can play tricks with you because it's conditioned to do that, to look out for danger.
Tobin, I want to thank you very much for coming on here. I think the public, having you here, really explained how serious this issue is and that something has to be done. And thank you very much. And good luck with the project in Paso Robles.
Thanks, Sarah.
This hour of Sound Off on KPRL was brought to you by Lind Patrol, specializing in dryer vent cleaning. Don't overwork your dryer or let your vent start a fire. Contact Dylan at lindpatrolca.com or call 805-975-5176.
AM 1230 KPRL, 99.3 FM, KPRL.com, Paso Robles, Atascadero, Templeton.
It's 2 o'clock.